Blog Talk Radio.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך, יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונך, יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Good evening, everyone, dear church family, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you very much for joining us this Friday night for the General Assembly in the Church of the Firstborn. This is our internet church service, and the Bible says to neglect not the assembling together of yourselves, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And we, boy, do we ever see that day approaching. That day is coming up on us so fast, it'll make your head spin. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving yesterday. I know I did. Got to spend time with friends and family, and it was just had a great meal, and just really was very grateful to God for his blessing, for his provision. I'm very, very thankful. And I'm going to share how it went at our, you guys know that we did the church service for the City Rescue Mission in Jacksonville, and we had a great turnout of people, both from our church and from the local area, and it was a really, really great day, and we're going to talk about that tonight because there's a lot of encouraging things that came out of that. So please stay with us, and let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's play some music, and let's have some musical worship this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have gathered us together yet again. And as our good brother Craig is always saying, Ephesians 5:16 says, neglect not the assembling together of your, no, I'm sorry. I was trying to read the chat box and talk at the same time. I just have to look away from the chat. But as Brother Craig always says, Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time for the days are evil. And Heavenly Father, we do come before you tonight to redeem these 90 minutes that we might have something from your word tonight, that we may have something from your throne room, that we may have you tonight, Father God, to meet with us and just lead us and guide us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And please bless everything that is said and done tonight. Speak through me. Speak through the music. Lord, I'm nothing before you. I'm simply your servant. Just take control of these proceedings that everything might be done as your word says, decently and in order. And please bless the speaker and bless the hearers. And, Lord, we pray if there be any with us tonight who do not know you, that something may be said or done that would lead them to salvation in you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. We just thank you so much, Lord. You are just so good to us. We thank you for gathering us together.
Shady green pastures, so rich and so free, God leads his children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary child feet. Lead his children, leave them alone. Sometimes on the mountain, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his children, leads them along. Sometimes through the valley, through the darkness of the night, the same God leading those same children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but it always and all the day long. Won't you let him take you through the fire? Let him take you through the flood. Let him take you through the fire. And we all must go through the blood. Won't you let him take you through the great sorrow? He'll always give you a song. And it's
though I might have also confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, well, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. The Apostle Paul had a lot in his past that he wanted to forget. The Apostle Paul, before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, was riding his high horse, and he said that he saw a light above the brightness of the sun, that a door in heaven had been opened. And the light was so bright, the Bible says that the light of God is so, it is the light that no man can approach thereunto. And the Apostle Paul came face to face with the risen, glorified Lord Jesus, and it burned a hole in his eyes. The Apostle Paul got to see the Lord Jesus face to face in his glorified condition, and the Bible says that he instantly became blind. He was knocked off his horse, and the risen Lord Jesus began to deal with the Apostle Paul, who was Saul at that time. And so when we understand how Paul came to be the Apostle Paul, and the only thing that was that he had an interest in was that he, in Philippians 3:10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto death. The Apostle Paul didn't want to know anything but the Lord Jesus Christ crucified, died, buried, rose again on the third day. And that's why he said that he's forgetting those things which are behind, and he's pressing forward towards the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, why do I mention this evening? I've received emails from many of you during the week, and a lot of us are struggling this week. A lot of us feel spiritual oppression. A lot of us feel that we're being kicked around by the devil. A lot of us are keenly attuned to the spiritual battle that we read about in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And this is a battle that as we get closer to the day of the rapture, Titus 2:13 says that we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, why did you guys tune in tonight? You didn't tune in for Christian entertainment because we don't offer any entertainment. We don't even really play modern music. We have the King James Bible. We have old-fashioned hymns. We have prayer. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the godly counsel of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Why did we tune in tonight? I'll tell you why we tuned in tonight. we tuned in tonight because we need to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm in touch with almost all of you at some point during the week. And this has been a rough week for a lot of us. I've read the emails. I've prayed for you guys. I do pray for you guys. But never forget that every moment that we get closer to the rapture, it's going to get harder and harder and harder to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that my detractors out there, whenever I talk like that, they're going to try to find something to use against me, but it is a fact that we live in the most wicked society that has ever been on the face of this earth. There has never been a society or a culture that has been more spiritually depraved and more spiritually far from God than us in America in the year 2012. And you guys know one of my great heroes of the faith is Dwight Moody. Well, if Dwight Moody, when he was alive on this earth, could have been transported in time just 100 years forward to see our society today, 112 years forward, he would have thought that that was the tribulation. Dwight Moody and Charles Spurgeon and Billy Sunday, they didn't face one-tenth of the trials and the temptations that we face today in the last generation before the rapture. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And that's why we've tuned in tonight, because we need to hear from the Lord. And this is our Friday night worship service, and we're going to continue with some scripture reading and some song playing. And we are going to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that he is worthy of being lifted up. And we're going to ask him to meet with us. We have asked him to meet with us tonight. And we know that he will. The Bible says where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. That's what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that he's here tonight. So please, if you know the words to these songs, wherever you find yourself, listening on your smart device, in your car, in the computer at your house, wherever you find yourself, just sing along with the words of these songs, these great old hymns, these great old hymns. brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Yesterday was Thanksgiving Day. And when it was done, I was visiting with friends yesterday and got done with dinner. We ate early and we got done with dinner about 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I'm driving home and I found myself with some extra time and I thought, well, you know what? I'll go to the gym and work out and get a good workout and work off some of this food that I just ate. So I went to the gym. And my gym is by a local Target store. And I saw all these cars pulling in to the Target. And I thought, that's kind of funny. I thought Target was closed today. Why would all these cars be pulling into the Target? So I went to the gym and I worked out. And when I was done and I'm driving home past the Target, I thought to myself, well, you know, why don't I just pull into that parking lot and see what's going on? Now, I didn't know or I had forgotten that a lot of stores are doing the Black Friday sales deal, but 3 hours early. So unbeknownst to me, all these cars were pulling into the parking lot because they were pulling in for when the store opened at 9 o'clock to have the pre-Black Friday sale. And it didn't dawn on me until I got into the parking lot, got out of the car, and I thought to myself, huh, Target's not open. They're waiting for that Black Friday nonsense. So I was going back to my car to leave because that's the last thing that I wanted to do. And all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and he said, did you see all those people, those hundreds of people waiting online to get into the Target? And I said, yes, sir, Lord, I do. And he said, why don't you go into the back of your truck? Why don't you grab a couple handfuls of gospel tracts? And why don't you go over to where those people are and start preaching and hand out some tracts? So I went to my truck, as I was told to do by the Lord, and I grabbed two fistfuls of tracts, about 150, 200 tracts. And I proceeded to go to the front of the line where there were hundreds of people just camped out, and they were sitting down. They had folding chairs. They had the whole deal. And and I started at the very front of the line, and in a little bit of a softer voice than what we normally do for street preaching, but certainly firm and passionate nonetheless, I started with the very first person in line, and I began to hand them gospel tracts. And I preached as I handed out tracts all the way down the row. And I got about three-quarters of the way down the line. I probably handed out over 100 gospel tracts while I was preaching. And the reason why I tell you that story, okay, the reason why that I tell you that story is because so many times we think that when we hear about other people working for the Lord or doing something for the Lord, we think there's nothing that I can do. But there's absolutely something that you can do for the Lord's kingdom to earn a crown at the judgment seat. And it can be something as simple as just keeping a supply of gospel tracts in your car so that no matter when the Lord calls you, you're ready to get on the battlefield and on the front lines to serve him. And when we first started the street preaching ministry about 9 months ago, I used to keep all my tracts and stuff at home. And when it was time for street preaching on Thursdays and Saturdays, I would pack up my car and go down to the street. But it just became easier to just kind of redeem the back half of my truck for the Lord's service. And I keep it filled with gospel tracts and street banners all the time now, so that no matter where I am, if the Lord calls me to get out of my truck and preach, I'm able to do that. Now, you may not be called to preach as a preacher on the streets. I understand that that's a very finite group of people, because you know, you have to be willing to really put yourself out there, and people get mad and people get aggravated and people spit on you and all that stuff. But you can create a track ministry, whether you're male or female or a child or young or old or whatever position in life you happen to be in, whether you're in eighth grade or you're retired. Anybody can hand out gospel tracts. Find a tract that you like that has good King James scriptures in it and a clear gospel presentation. And I want to encourage you guys tonight, as we get ready to go from 2012 into 2013 in a couple of weeks, you know, the Lord showed me last night, the Bible says, Paul said to Timothy, be always ready to preach the gospel. He told Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. He told Timothy to be ready for wherever and whenever the Lord called him into his service. And you, whether you're male or female, young or old, black or white, rich or poor, you can have a gospel track ministry. You can hand those things out. You can get involved and be on the battlefield. You can keep them in your car. And because there's no way that I could have been prepared to know that there would have been hundreds of people waiting at the Target. I'm not a shopper. I don't, you know, keep up with shopping news. There's no way that I would know that. But because I had already packed my truck with the tracks, I was prepared to redeem the time when the Lord called me. And it's something as simple as if you'll just fill a piece of your car with gospel tracks, you would be really surprised how many situations the Lord will suddenly call you to that you'll now be prepared for. And that's really what it means when we talk about Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time for the days are evil. It is not hard to redeem the time. You just have to, A, want to redeem the time, and B, you have to be prepared to do it. On Wednesday, we went to the City Rescue Mission homeless shelter in Jacksonville, and I think it's the biggest homeless shelter in Florida. It's a Christian-based shelter, obviously, and they have about 400 people who work there, and they have hundreds of people who are full-time residents there. And I have shared with all of you in the past couple of months leading up to this that the Lord had opened a door of opportunity for us to take the gospel to this homeless shelter. And it was a really exciting thing to see. So many people from my church came with us, and we had a four-person a cappella group who were singing gospel songs with us. We had congregational singing. I played the piano for that and led them in congregational singing. I preached the first half of the service, and then Brother Dowell preached the other half of the service and closed out the message. And when it was done, during the invitation, five people raised their hands, and it was just it was an amazing time. And yes, Brother Sam, we will be doing it on December 21st for the Christmas service as well. So if you and your kids and wife want to come down from Georgia and attend that service with us, it's going to be a great time of fellowship. And I just want to publicly thank the Lord Jesus Christ tonight for giving us that opportunity. And he revealed it to me about 6 months ago through prayer that he was going to open up an effectual door of opportunity in addition to the street ministry, which he started 9 months ago. And I feel very, very blessed because the Lord is talking with me. He's talking to me. He's giving me work to do. He's giving me a vision for what type of work needs to be done. And things are happening as he had spoke to me and told me that they would happen. And what happened on Wednesday was just a real, I mean, so many people came together. We had one guy driving a big van, and couple other brothers, they had to move some heavy stuff and some equipment, and everything had to be set up, and it all came together flawlessly and beautifully. So if any of our street preaching team is listening to this broadcast, thank you so very much for all the great cooperation that happened on Wednesday. Truly, we did it as a church family, and that was just, it was just awesome. And I'm really in awe tonight of, you know, the Bible says that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, even unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you may be thinking tonight that you've missed your opportunity to serve the Lord. Some of you may have been called to serve the Lord when you were younger, and life and other junk got in the way, or maybe you became a prodigal for a while and only recently made your way back. Maybe you're still in the process of making your way back. But brother and sister, let me tell you that if God has ever called you, that call is still valid on your life until he tells you that it's not. Do not ever, I'll say it one more time, do not ever let some mean-spirited, supposed Christian brother or sister talk you out of what the Lord gave you to do. Never. And it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what sin you've fallen into. If you've gotten yourself dirty, well, we sing the old hymn, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. If you're a prodigal, come on back to the Father's house. Don't delay. Come back now. The Lord will receive you because the Lord promised that he will receive you. And if you've ever been called to the Lord's service at any point in your life, maybe you were called 40 years ago. Maybe you were called 4 weeks ago. Maybe you're being called now as the Holy Spirit is dealing with you through this broadcast. The Bible says that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it even unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I can give an absolute, absolute testimony in my own life that the Lord, if you want to come back, the Lord will receive you back with open arms. And we're going to look at the prodigal son from Luke 15 when we get back, because I think it's just a good reminder for all of us, especially those of you who are feeling discouraged. And from the emails that I've been getting this week, it looks like a bunch of us have had a rough week this week. So we're going to look a little bit at the prodigal son after this song. And it's a great story. I think we just need to hear it again. If you have your King James Bibles with you, would you please turn to Luke chapter 15? And I want to look at what Luke 15 has to say to us tonight. And starting in Luke 15, verse 8, we read this. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, if you look at the last half of 15:9 in the Gospel of Luke, here we have this woman, and she has plenty of money. The Bible says she has 10 pieces of silver, and she's only lost one of those pieces. But the Bible says, and what woman among you having 10 pieces of silver who lose one, and you're going to sweep the house and seek diligently till you find it. And then when you have found it, you call your neighbors together saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Now, in the passage, that's the word piece as in a part of something, P-I-E-C-E. But from a spiritual application, that could very easily be P-E-A-C-E. If you don't have the peace of God in your life tonight, it is quite possible you have lost one of your silver coins that the Lord has given you. I was talking with a friend of mine just about a week or two ago, and this friend of mine, he has a good job, has a beautiful wife, has two great kids, and she just gave birth to the third one, and he's really, really happy about it, and he's a good Christian brother. And I went up to him the other day, and I saw him, and he just, you know, for somebody that has so many good things going on in his life, he just didn't look like somebody who should have been on top of the world. And I went up to him, and I said, hey, brother. I said, you look a little down. And he said, yeah, I just feel down today. And I, you know, just quickly, I took 30 seconds to remind him of all the good things that was going on in his life. And do you know what he said to me? He said to me something pretty amazing. He said, yeah, you know, I have a great life and great things going on. He said, but I just don't have my joy in the Lord anymore. He had lost one of his silver coins. And the woman in the story of Luke 15:9, when she finds her coin, she says, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And when we read in the book of Revelation, and Jesus says, you have lost your first love. Well, what is your first love? If you remember back when you were first saved, and that if you remember the day that you realized your sins were paid for, and that the devil could never again taunt you with hell, that hell could never again be waved in front of your face as an option for you, and you remember that day when you got saved, and you didn't care if God was going to do anything else to you, right? You didn't care if that's the only thing he gave you. Do you remember what it was like to be hopelessly head over heels in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to remember that right here and right now. I want you to remember what that was like when you got saved. I can recall for myself, I got saved 21 years ago in March, right before my birthday, and I had been searching for God. about a year and a half prior to that, I had an older brother who passed away. And I realized at that moment, I realized two things. The first thing that I realized was that I was lost and headed for hell. If hell did exist, I was going there, absolutely. And B, after a lifetime of Catholic education, I had no idea who God was. I had absolutely no idea who God was. And when I was done with my brother's funeral, it really bothered me because I knew that I had these two unanswered questions in my life. So I was living in California at the time, and I began to go with anybody and everybody who knew anything spiritual. The first group that I went to was some friends of mine were involved in Buddhism. And so I built a little Buddhist shrine in my bedroom, and I prayed to that shrine. And I did that off and on for a couple of months. And that didn't do anything for me. And isn't it good that the Lord keeps us safe in our stupidity, you know? even when we're lost, you know, God is still good to us. We don't know who he is, and if we were to die at that moment, we'd go to hell. But God, I mean, he says he makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, right? And I know that at that time, as an unsaved person, I didn't know that I was a recipient of God's blessings, but looking back, I can see he was certainly keeping me safe. So after my time with the Buddhists, I actually spent some time with the Muslims. And even way back in 1989, those people were crazy. And I spent a weekend with those guys, and never again. I just wanted to get as far away from those people as possible. And then I spent some time with Jehovah's Witness, and I spent some time with the Mormons. And anywhere and everywhere that somebody I knew said that they knew anything spiritual, I wanted to hear about it. And I was getting very discouraged because after about a year of searching, I was no closer to an answer than I was at the beginning. No closer. And then one day, a friend of mine said to me, "Why don't you come with me to AA?" And I certainly, you know, at the time, this is 21 years ago, I was certainly, you know, not in a sober condition. So I thought to myself, well, you know, that's a pretty good idea. And I went to AA, and while I was listening to the speaker talk about one of the steps that said that we come to a knowledge of God as we understand him to be. And there was something about that that kind of went against the grain of my logical mind. I thought to myself, you know, there's 6 billion people on the face of this earth. If everybody comes to a knowledge of God as we understand him, then you would wind up with 6 billion different gods. So I knew that that could not be right, but it got me thinking. And when I got home that night, I couldn't sleep, and it was midnight, and I was tossing, and I was turning, and I just, you know, the Lord was working on me, and I couldn't sleep. So I knew that somewhere in the house, in the basement, my dad had stolen a Bible from a hotel, an old blackback King James Gideon Bible, had red edges on the book. And I went downstairs, and just like that woman with the coin, and she starts turning on all the lights, and she starts looking everywhere in her house for that lost coin. It took me about a half an hour, but you know, I became like a man obsessed with finding this. I mean, this book that had lain dormant in my house for 25 years, and it was only the Lord that brought it back to my memory that I knew it was there. And I went digging for this thing, and just like the woman looking for the coin, I was looking for this Bible. And I finally found it, and I blew the dust off of it, and I opened it up. And then I realized I had a problem. I didn't know anything about the Bible. And doesn't the Bible say that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them? And why not? Because they are spiritually discerned. The Bible says that the unsaved man cannot understand the Bible. That's what the Bible says. But the parts of the Bible that have to do with salvation, if you're seeking, if you're looking, God will let you understand those parts of the Bible. Bible says, whosoever will, come unto me. Whosoever will. And the whole rest of that Bible may be closed to the mind of the unsaved person, but the parts that deal with salvation will jump out at you like a screaming neon sign, and you will be able to understand. So the only Bible verse that I knew of in the entire Bible was John 3:16, because I used to watch a lot of football. I still watch a fair amount of football. And you know those people who hold up the signs? I saw them in all the games yesterday, right in the end zone when they're getting ready to kick a point after or a field goal. Somebody in that end zone holds up a sign that says John 3:16. Now, these are not random people. As I found out after I got saved, that's an actual ministry of people who go to all the televised games and they hold up those signs in the end zone. So here I am, it's at midnight, I'm in my bedroom, and just like the woman looking for the lost coin, I had spent a half an hour looking for this dusty old Bible, and I found it. And because of those people who hold up the John 3:16 signs, I knew to turn to John 3:16. I didn't know what John 3:16 said, but I knew to turn there. So I turned there, and I read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And on my knees, alone in my room that night, I asked Jesus to take my life. I asked him to take my sin. I asked him to save my soul. I don't remember the exact words, but there were certainly along that line. And it says in Luke 15, verse 9, it says, "And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost." And that's what we need to get back to. We don't need to learn more about the Bible. Bible learning is good, but that's not what we have a deficiency of tonight. We don't need to add more work to our schedule. That's not what we have a deficiency of tonight. We have a deficiency of a love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just because he can do something for us, but because of who he is. The Bible says that he alone is worthy to be praised. And I think that so many of our problems and issues and trials would be immediately over if we could find our way back to our first love, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and to live in that love, and to be so grateful that he saved us from hell. John 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We need to get back. If we want to have peace back in our life, we need to get back to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that we had when we were first saved. if you've lost that bright, burning, fiery love for the Lord, you can get it back. But like the woman in Luke 15, you've got to sweep and light and look and search until you find it. Jesus Christ is not hiding from you. If you don't feel close to the Lord, it's you who moved. It's not him. The Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. He's right there. He's right there. If you're not feeling close to him, it's because you moved. He didn't go anywhere at all. And we need to get back to that first love. We need to get back to when our relationship with the Lord was brand new, and it made everything, everything, everything new because of that.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There is light when you look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him, and you will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to tell. Thank you.
some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to that land where joy will never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. There may be some of you this evening who finds themselves in a prodigal position. Usually when we begin to lose our joy in the Lord, we lose it because the relationship with the Lord has begun to grow cold and distant. It's very, very hard to have the joy of the Lord when you have no relationship with the Lord at all. It's very, very hard to be excited about heaven when the things of God are cold and distant. And as we get into the holiday season now, they say that this is the time of the year where the suicide rate is the highest. And people take their lives for relatively trivial reasons. And when we get away from the Lord, we can allow the discouragement of this world to beat upon us to such a degree that every bit of our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ stops. And we begin, instead of living in victory, we begin to live in defeat. And that's a horrible, horrible, horrible place to be. When we were at the homeless shelter on Wednesday, I could see in the eyes of some of those people that they were living in defeat. And the ones that were actively struggling with drug or alcohol problems, you could see it in their faces. And they were jumpy, and they couldn't sit still, and they were always getting up out of their seat and going somewhere and smoking a cigarette and coming back, and they were just on edge the whole time. And then there were others who sat patiently and sat quietly, but they had tears in their eyes. And you could see that they needed to hear from the Lord. Five of those people who raised their hands at the end didn't know the Lord at all. And then, of course, you could see in the faces of the ones who had peace, who had an active relationship with the Lord. And, you know, when the service was done and we sat and we had dinner with them, and the food was really, it was amazingly good. And we sat and we had fellowship with them, and Brother Sam, you're going to keep asking that same question until I answer it. There were two preachers that preached this Wednesday, and next month, maybe two or three, I'm really not sure. If you really want to come down, you let me know and we'll work you in somehow. But when we spoke with the people who lived in the homeless shelter, there was a big bunch of those people that, in spite of their circumstances, in spite of the fact that they were living in a roof that someone else had provided, they had clothes in their back which were given to them by somebody else, they were eating food that was donated by somebody else, these people were not in defeat, but they were in victory. And as soon as I began to speak with them, and we all began to speak with them about the things of the Lord, they instantly gave a brief testimony of how good that the Lord has been to them. So as we begin to get into the Christmas season, we should not have our eyes on our wants and needs and the things that we feel that we need, the things that we feel that we don't have. And the devil uses this time of the year, maybe even more than any other time of the year, to get our eyes off the Lord, get our eyes on ourselves, and instead of living in victory in the Lord, we begin to live in defeat, because all that we're focused on is our problems, our wants, our needs, our health concerns, wherever else the case may be. But the Apostle Paul said that in whatever state he found himself, he was to therewith be content. He said, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And those people who live at the homeless shelter, that's all they have. They have donated food, they have donated clothes, and they sleep in a donated bed under a donated roof. So if you feel that you've been under great spiritual attack this week, if you feel that you're 100 miles from the Lord, just like the prodigal son, he says, I will arise in Luke 15:18. I will arise and go to my Father. And that's what we need to do whenever we start to feel ourselves getting cold. The Bible says, I will arise and go to my Father. You know, life is a constant battle. It's a constant journey. We are not static. The only static things in this life are dead things. The only static things in this life are inanimate objects that have no life. Anything in this life that has life is in a constant state of change. We live here in Florida, and we live right by the ocean. And bread goes moldy. If you don't put your bread in the refrigerator, the bread goes moldy in 3 days, 4 days tops. And you got to throw the whole loaf out because it doesn't last. The bread doesn't stay in the state that you buy it in. It's constantly changing. And from the moment that you got saved and God gave you new life, that new life that he gave you, while it's eternal, as long as we live in these fleshly bodies, we are in a constant state of motion. We are in a constant state of animation. and we're either allowing ourselves to be brought closer to the Lord, or we're allowing ourselves to be pulled farther away. So if you feel like you're far from the Lord, you need to do like with the prodigal. Maybe you're not a prodigal son. Maybe you haven't fallen into some sin. But you don't have to fall into a sin to become a prodigal. The prodigal son, his real problem was not his sin. The real problem that the prodigal son has was that he left the father. And all the junk that happened after he left, none of that would have happened if he hadn't have left. So spending all his money on the harlots and the booze and all the other stuff, those are all just symptoms. The cause of his problem was that he left the father's house. That's what the cause of his problem was. If you feel that you're far away from the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you need to get back to that first love, back to that first relationship. And when the prodigal son came back, what did he say? He said in Luke 15:21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. The prodigal son's real problem was not sin. The prodigal son, his actual problem was leaving the father's house. And he spent all that time away because he allowed guilt and shame and remorse to chain him to the far country, until one day he realized that all he had to do to break those chains was to remember the amazing grace of the Father and arise and return.
My chains are gone.
17 verse 1, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self for the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they received them, and have surely known that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine is thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's the Lord's Prayer. That's the real Lord's Prayer. That's the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed to the Father over the disciples and over all those who would come to faith in him through the disciples. And as we sit here on November 23rd of 2012, we are part of that group who has come to faith in Jesus Christ through the disciples. So when Jesus says in John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, well, that's you and me he's talking about. John 17 is Jesus' prayer of blessing and protection over all those who would believe on him through the preached word. Now do you see why it's so important to hand out gospel tracts? Now do you see why it's so important to go on the street corner and preach? Now do you see why it's so important to share Jesus with your friends and neighbors? This is why it's important. Because souls hang in the balance, and because eternity is forever. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves. We need to get our eyes off of our own problems. And we need to get our eyes on eternity. Because whether we die tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, or in 50 years from today, rest assured, brother and sister, death will come for you unless the rapture comes first. And we need to be prepared to face God in that day. So spend some time this weekend in the 17th chapter of John in your King James Bible. Spend some time and read and reread those verses. I just read to you the entire chapter, 17th chapter of the book of John. And I want you to really meditate on that and absorb that. And you'll see that Jesus Christ prepared, when he says in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus prepared to get everything ready for you and I who would believe on him to spend eternity with him. Are you prepared to meet him? Are you prepared to either meet him by death or by rapture? We talk a whole lot on these programs about the judgment seat of Christ. And my goal is to prepare each and every one of you to do well at the judgment seat. And if you're not saved, to share the gospel with you that you get saved. And if you're a prodigal, to say something from the Lord that will want to cause you to return home. I thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I thank you so much for every one of these shows that you guys listen to, that you attend, because the hour draws close. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. You guys have a great weekend. We have a really awesome show lined up for Sunday night. We'll see you back here Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Good night, everybody.